Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Okay, for this next segment, we were trying to figure out the best way to set it up for you, the conversation that we're inviting both our panelists and our listeners to have. And we decided that the easiest way to do that was kind of pull back the curtain and tell you about a conversation we had as we were preparing for the show this morning. So here in Studio 3, our producers Paris Alston and Sarah Rose Brenner, who were both part of this morning's chat. Paris and Sarah Rose, hi.
Hello, Tiziana.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So listen, it all started when we were chatting about a moment from Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes on Sunday night, mocking the Hollywood folk in the audience for their wokeness.
Well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg.
So he goes on to exhort everyone, hey, if you win an award, get up here, thank your people. I think he says, thank your God, and then get the heck off stage. There may have been a few more expletives than that. So we were chatting about that this morning and kind of the zeitgeist it captures. Paris, how did that moment strike you and how would you characterize the conversation we had?
So first of all, I just keep going back to the faces in the audience. It was kind of like one of those moments when everyone's looking around like, is he really saying this? And people were kind of laughing, but not really laughing. And he was also, as I think Sarah Rose pointed out, kind of hypocritical because he's up there pontificating on all these political points when he just told everyone not to do that.
Right. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I thought it was funny. I laughed, but I wasn't a famous person in the audience. So I'm not sure if he got the reception he was going for. It's like Paris mentioned, like I thought it was a little hypocritical because before he got into that, he was talking about Jeffrey Epstein and the lack of diversity among the major categories. So
you
just felt
he
like,
was already being political.
Right. Like you went and you were political. You had your stage. Why can't other people do the same?
And that led us to a conversation this morning about the tensions between our need and our desire to increasingly be aware of the politics and social justice of a variety of situations and kind of the fatigue that comes with that. Paris, is everything political? Should it be?
In today's age, especially as a millennial, and I think a lot of different generations can relate to this, but especially with us having social media and all these pressures from our friends to be woke and things like that, it feels like everything is political and you have to really watch what you say, especially on platforms like Twitter, Instagram, all of that, because someone is waiting to point out that you're being politically incorrect or insensitive. But also sometimes I think it's okay to lighten up a little bit and realize that this world is so complicated and sometimes you have to be able to release and even make light of certain things and kind of sometimes you just want to live and do the things you want to do without them being criticized.
Sarah Rose, you're nodding.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. I think it does feel like everything is political, so I'm just going to go ahead and say everything is political, but I don't mind that because there's so many important things happening that if it is everywhere, it's because it should be, and I think that people should be aware enough, like, if you need a break, you need to step back, then just take a step back and take a break, and there's nothing wrong with that, and people shouldn't feel bad. But I think it's important that the issues are getting out there, even though people might say, like, oh, I'm so tired.
So there you have it, listeners. That was what started the whole thing. And we realized it's time to have a conversation about this. Let's invite some guests in who we think are smarter than we are to think about that and invite your calls to say, hey, should politics and social justice pervade everything we do? Do you need to be woke aware all the time? Do you need a refuge? Do you deserve a refuge? What do you think? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. So now we're going to pull the curtain back over. We're going to invite Paris and Sarah Rose. Thank you both so much.
Thank you so
Thank
much,
you.
Tiziana.
We're going to invite them to go back to work, and we're going to turn to some panelists now that we've got it set up. So let's turn to those guests. First, joining me here in the studio is Reverend Mariama White-Hammond, pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester, an activist and organizer. Reverend Mariama, welcome back. Great to have you.
It's good to be here.
And on the line is Hiawatha Bray, Boston Globe business and tech writer. Hiawatha, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Yeah, great to be here. And I'm not talking about tech either.
That's right. It's great to have you on any number of subjects, Hiawatha. So I kind of want to jump into it here. What were your reactions, Hiawatha? I'll start with you to, you know, what you just heard from our producers, from Paris and Sarah Rose.
Well, yeah, I'm one of those people who does think that we have, we sometimes overwhelm ourselves with this need to turn everything that we see, everything that we think, everything that we talk about into a political issue. And in a way, it almost becomes almost anti-political in some cases, because instead of being able to do what people really ought to do in terms of political issues, which is to have honest debates about the subjects that concern us, it becomes basically an opportunity to tell other people to shut up. So many of our so-called political debates don't amount to debates at all. I mean,
do
I think
you
of the
feel
Greta
shut
Thunberg
up, Hiawatha, often by
not
these discussions?
Me. No. But I think it's pretty clear that a lot of Americans do feel as though they're walking on eggs whenever they open their mouths about any particular issue because of the way we argue about these things. It isn't even that things are political. It's the way we argue about politics.
Let me turn to Reverend Mariama here, Hiawatha, because she's nodding several times in that comment from you. Go ahead.
So I think the reality is that everything is political. I think that's partially true, and not always like political as in political parties, but the reality is like there's a lot of things about our lives that benefit some people and hurt other people. And, you know, we have to have those conversations. I think what Hiawatha is saying that I think is really important is I'm not upset that we're having the conversations, because I think there have been many times in our history where some of us have been asked to suffer in silence, where we haven't had the space to have the conversation. The question is how we're having the conversation. And I think there are two trends that are disturbing at the same time that more of the conversation has. So glad we're opening up these topics. However, there's two things. One, I think we struggle to just know how to have basic dialogue with each other. I have the experience of being on the train and seeing all of us, you know, on our phones, like, you know, totally engrossed. And there was a really good article that came out, I think it might have been in the Washington Post or the Times, I can't remember which one right now, that talked about how people literally spend all of their time on the phones because they're afraid to have a conversation with a stranger. And, you know, these scientists actually pushed people to have the conversation. And when the folks who did have the conversation rated the experience as better than the folks who didn't. But in reality, most of us think, oh, my gosh, I don't want to have a conversation with this person. What if we don't agree? We're going to have this. So our ability to have good, healthy dialogue, We're losing it.
Okay, what's the second thing?
The second thing is that I think we've seen a decline in the spaces in our communities where we can talk and we can notice things we have in common beyond traditional political stuff. So there's fewer of us bowling. There's fewer of us in garden clubs. There's fewer of us going to churches or synagogues. There's fewer of us in spaces where we're able to build with another human being over something that maybe isn't so political, and that's just about the things we love to do and being in relationship with each other.
So Hiawatha, go ahead.
Absolutely, I think that is absolutely brilliant. You're almost making my skin crawl here because it occurs to me you're the pastor of a church. I'm a deacon in a church, and I think that may give us both an advantage. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your politics are, you know what my politics are, but we both go to church, and one of the huge advantages of being somebody who goes to a church is we're constantly surrounded by different kinds of people. We take it for granted that the world's full of people who aren't like us, and we must learn to love and get along with them, because that's what our religion teaches. Our religion teaches. And as religious attachment declines in American society, I think that's a major reason for a lot of the hostility and bitterness that we see in all directions, because people don't go someplace every week where they're constantly being taught, hey, that person next to you who voted for Trump or who voted for Hillary Clinton, that's still your brother or sister, and you have to love that person.
Let's take a call.
A lot of people are not learning that. They're not learning that.
Let's take a call. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Kevin, I want you to join the conversation. What do you want to share with Hiawatha and Reverend Mariama?
Well, thanks very much. You had kind of rhetorically asked, do we get a break from all this wokeness and social justice? And I'd like to say that the poor don't get a break, so we don't get a break.
So no luxury of fatigue when people are experiencing fatigue in their lives every day, Kevin?
It's a luxury the poor can't afford.
Thanks for that. Kevin, and Kevin was calling from Orleans, Massachusetts. Reverend Mariama, your reaction to Kevin?
Well, I mean, I think that Kevin has a good point. Like, one of the things one of my teachers in seminary says that my job as a pastor is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. The reality is there are some folks who are struggling, and some of us shouldn't get to just live our lives acting like those folks are not there or acting like they're not experiencing real challenges. At the same time, I think there is still this conversation about how we have the conversation. And I say this to my, you know, my parishioners, like, when was the last time someone yelled in your face and you walked away from that going, you know what, I'm so thankful for the feedback that you just offered me, and I'm going to go and change.
Why are you laughing?
You know? So,
well, of course, because of course what you're saying is absolutely true. The tone in which we conduct our discourse in this society is absurd, and it's outrageous. And the idea that anybody is going to become a better person for being abused on Twitter is just, where do people even get that idea?
So let me take a pause here for a second, though. The outrageous and the strong, as we become increasingly aware of, as we increase our interdependence and become aware of the impact that our choices have, sometimes they're a really big deal.
Oh, so certainly.
So how does one express the breadth and depth of that and not be outrageous?
Well, and so this is one of the things that's interesting. One of my things is that I think a lot of us are focused on anger either because we'd like to look at the sty in somebody else's eye without looking at our own, and because I think we have a hard time with grief. And I think I encourage my folks, when I look at the world, there are many times that I see beautiful things. I'm sitting on the train, I see a young person, but I see a lot of pain. I mean, as a pastor, whenever I have to go to the courthouse, I'm so sad to see young people in there whose lives are moving on the wrong track, and we can all tell it. But I don't walk away from that grief, and it doesn't have to right away convert to anger. Sometimes we need to just sit with that grief and say, I don't want to live in a world like this, and then ask the question, what do I need to do to shift it? And sometimes our first answer is, what do I need to tell somebody else what to shift? And less, what do I need to do? What do I need to participate in to shift this?
Let's take another call. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Paul on the line from Brookline. Paul, what's on your mind?
Hi. Good afternoon. First, I'm really happy to be on with your guests. I enjoy both of them a lot when I hear them. My observation, extending a little bit of what was just said, when I heard Mr. Gervais in the intro, I heard him scolding these people and warning them to not talk from a position of privilege when they're not doing anything real in their lives to create change. They're ineffective, and they're just throwing criticism without actually doing anything to make the world a better place. So I don't know if it's fatigue as much as it is, don't be hypocritical and don't be sanctimonious.
Let's have Hiawatha pick that up, Paul.
I don't know. I mean, I got to tell you, I saw this and I thought it was, in some ways, some of it was disgusting. And Paul, some of the jokes he told were awful. But in the main, I thought it was brilliant. And I was listening because I thought, I have felt that way so many times. And I'm listening to somebody who's rich and powerful hectoring me and hectoring my fellow Americans about what we are doing wrong. And it is deeply offensive at times to hear that going on from people. And it's not because they aren't doing enough, I think. I think it's because of the lack of humility and the lack of a sense of equality. If some of the same celebrities were talking about these issues in ways that said, I'm your fellow citizen, I'm your fellow human being, I'm your fellow American, let's talk together about what we should be doing about this. Maybe we can have, you know, meetings where we talk, and I'm not going to lecture you. I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'm just going to try to meet you as another human being. And so little of this discourse is like that, and I think that's why so many people really feel resentment about it, and sometimes I do too.
Let's take another call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to pull up your own seat at the table. We've got Doug on the line from Hyde Park. Doug, go ahead.
Hi, I just want to thank you for having me on. I respect our religious leaders and their opinions. I actually know Mariama very well. I think the reason that we're all hostile to each other is obviously the leader in the White House has created this atmosphere where it has created an atmosphere where we're hostile to each other when we don't agree. And I kind of am falling into that trap myself because I'm so angry all the time, given how he has treated a lot of people, racist, sexist.
Doug, what about the argument that he's a symptom that the approach that the president uses, which we know is an inflammatory approach, is a symptom of where we are as a country, not the cause of where we are as a country.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I guess my final point is he is a symptom, and the fact that there are so many people that after 3 years still support him and are okay with him separating families at the border, having the attitude that he has. You're right, it's absolutely a symptom, which is why we are so hostile to each other, because it's gotten to a point where we're so different in opinion and how we want this country that I think people focus too much on the leader in the White House. He's exacerbated the problem, but he's also pointed out that this country is very sexist, very racist, and a lot of our religious leaders, not our wonderful guest on the line, but a lot of the religious leaders have become very hypocritical. So, it's hard for me to take.
Doug, I'm going to pick it up from you from there. I really appreciate it, and especially since you know Reverend Mariama, I'm going to turn to her for a response.
I mean, I think that what Doug is raising, is true. I don't think it helps us in any way when the person with one of our biggest platforms in the world is exacerbating this. I think it was interesting.
He is not the only one.
But he's not. He's not. What's interesting to me about it is that he is, he's a little bit of a television personality. And when I look at what was happening on the Golden Globes, so there's a tension here because you're right. They have a lot of privilege. I'm like, you spent the last 2 weeks just trying to figure out your dress while, other people were dealing with some more serious issues.
Put food on the table.
Right? But that being said, the problem is that we are a starstruck nation, and they didn't make that. We're the ones, I think, unfortunately, as we have lost more and more space for measured and thoughtful people to be at the center of our conversation, as we ourselves have gravitated to more divisive figures on both sides, and as we have ceded to sports stars and movie stars to have the largest platform in our country, I think some of them feel like, well, if I have a platform, shouldn't I be using it in a positive way? Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to turn to any of them for the space, but I think, again, the problem is, to some extent, they are stepping into a vacuum that we have created because we're not sitting down with our neighbors. We're not having dinner with the folks we are go to religious services with. We're not even, in enough interaction with the folks that our kids go to school with. So when we don't create the good forums for the healthy conversation, we create a vacuum into which other people are stepping. And I agree that they're not the best folks. I understand why they feel like they need to say something.
Let's put Hiawatha in here, too, both in reaction to Reverend Mariama, but also in reaction to Doug, if you want, the caller who prompted this part of the conversation.
Well, no, I think I don't think there's anything I would particularly push back against, except, yeah, I absolutely agree. Well, you all agreed that Trump is not the cause of this. If anything, I would say that one of the reasons he got elected was the very reason why that Ricky Gervais monologue, I just glanced, it's gotten 8 million views on YouTube. And that doesn't count all the people who've seen excerpts of it or read about it. There are millions of people for whom that resentment and anger about being constantly preached at by people who live really not very appealing lives, a lot of people really feel that. But it's not a solution. It's not a cure to say, well, now we're going to get back at you. I really feel that a lot of the things that drives this popularity of Trump is, here's a guy who's going to talk back to all these know-it-alls who are always telling us what's wrong with us. But that doesn't get us anywhere. It just keeps the cycle going. And you just know that people on the left, whenever they come back to power, there's going to be more and more of this attitude toward, well, the people who didn't vote for us, we don't have to pay any attention to them. We're just going to trash each other indefinitely is the feeling that one gets. And we have to figure out some way to break the cycle. And right at this moment, I'm not sure anybody even wants to break the cycle.
So we've got a full set of lines, and I want to grab at least one more caller. So let's take Colby from East Boston. Colby, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a pro-life lawyer, and my law school dean told me she had never met a pro-life person before.
How did that make you feel, Colby?
But I have to look at all the causes that pop up, and I also have 8 children and 16 grandchildren, so I have to pace myself. I can't take every single issue onto my plate, but I have to be like the story of the Good Samaritan. You have to help the person that you run into.
Thanks for that, Colby. I saw Reverend Mariama nodding, so I'm going to turn to you.
Well, I mean, I think the reality is we can't ask people. I joke with people all the time, you know, I worship Jesus and I'm very clear that I'm not him and neither are you. Right. And mm-hmm. so I don't think any of us can be perfect. But I want to see all of us trying. And I appreciate what Colby said. Like, we can't all end homelessness and racism. And we can't do all of those things, right? But all of us could be doing something. And the reality is, I think not enough of us are actually doing things where we dig in and take it seriously and build real relationships with people. I push back on some of the activists. And again, I'm an activist. I believe in activism. But if all you're doing is sort of clicking here and rallying there and you're not really digging in with real people and building relationships, I do think that it can keep things in the purely theoretical and political realm and never help us to get to the real human.
Okay, so I'm going to take
I quickly have to interject one more thing, because I am a tech reporter, and I'm here to tell you, but the people who invented the stuff I write about every day have clearly got a lot to do with what's going on here. We have communication without real content, without real contact with the people we're communicating with, and it has changed the way we talk to each other. There can be no question that services like Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, are part of the reason this stuff is happening. We no longer know the people we're berating, and that's why we talk to each other the way we do.
All right. So listen, just very quickly, we aren't going to have time for any more calls, but our lines were full and we had more people calling in. Listeners, if you didn't get to comment and you want to, Facebook, Twitter, at Radio Boston, post your comments. We'd like to know. Okay. So Reverend Mariama, two words, final thought.
I still have hope.
Excellent. And Hiawatha?
Log off.
Can I tell you how much I loved this conversation with the two of you? That was Hiawatha Bray, Boston Globe business and tech writer. Hiawatha, thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And Reverend Mariama White Hammond, pastor at the New Roots AME Church in Dorchester and activist and organizer. Thank you so much as well.
Thank you. And talk to a stranger, guys.
And listeners, Absolutely. Thank you. It was wonderful to have your calls, have this kind of kitchen table conversation. Let's do more of it. Meanwhile, coming up, Errol Morris's new film puts him in conversation with Steve Bannon. We'll hear from Morris himself. There's more coming up. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.